Well, it's a privilege to get to preach today, and I just ask you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 107. I talked with Graham about this was the passage that I was going to preach on, and he winds up finding a song, sends me a text this week and says, "Hey, what do you think about this song?" So I really enjoyed this song. I hope you did as well. And man, he just, good stuff, Graham. So, but Psalm 107, and we're going to read the first three verses to begin, and then we'll dive in and work through this whole psalm. So, Psalm 107, verse 1. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." Let's pray and just ask God to help us. Father God, thank You for Your word. I ask that You guide and direct us now. Father, that You would use me in spite of my humanity, that You would just empower, and that Holy Spirit, You would fill me, that it would be to Your glory and the good of Your people. So we thank You for Your word. Help us now. Again, grow us in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus I pray in His precious name. Amen. So Psalm 107, and it begins with, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." The psalmist starts out with this "oh" as an emphasis that the Lord does deserve this. He is good. And thus we should give thanks if we are His people. And the redeemed ought to be that. They ought to be thankful people for what He has done for them. It says that He has redeemed them from their trouble. This also could be used as the adversary, because He is the trouble. And the scriptures tell us that because of our sin, we are dead in our trespasses. And even the Lord Jesus said that as He was talking to the Pharisees and the scribes, He says, "Your father is the father of lies." And so it is the Lord who has redeemed us from that bondage of sin and that slavery to it, and from the adversary or the trouble. And then He says, "to those that are gathered from the lands and from the east and from the west, from the north and the south." And so as we look here, beginning with looking at the thankfulness of the redeemed, God is called from all over. And actually this word here that's used for the south could simply be from the sea, that they're called from across the sea. Just again, communicating the idea that people from all over this world that the Lord has redeemed, they are to give thanks. And so, child of God, I want to encourage you with that today, that we would be people who are thankful people. And as we look at this text, that we would be challenged to give the Lord thanks for what He's done. And that we might be able to be said of, as was said of Job, when Satan came to him, to God, to report. In Job chapter 1, verse 7, it says, I'll begin verse 6. This is, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, 'From where have you come?' Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for no reason, that it might be said of us that God could say, "Have you considered my servant," in my case, Aaron?" Because we are redeemed by Him, because we are thankful people, and we appreciate what He He has done for us. And then continuing on in Job chapter 1, that we might be and have the response of Job. Then Job, verse 20, says, "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. And so as we come to this psalm, we're going to see then how God has called people and redeemed them out of various sundry trials and situations. And thus the redeemed. As we look at the trials and situations of our life and how God has worked, we should give thanks. Why? Because He's good. For His steadfast love endures forever. And as we think about, again, these that have been called out, they've been redeemed from across the world. 1 Peter 2:9, Peter writes, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light." And the reality that we have been redeemed from the trouble, from that darkness, and that we have been called to be a particular chosen race. Revelation 5, verse 9 says, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and tongue and people and nation.'" This one who is redeemed from across this world is worthy because He has redeemed us. He has redeemed us from the one who is the troubler or the adversary, and because His steadfast love endures forever. And then He gives us some examples of different ones who have been redeemed and how God has intervened in their life. So beginning now, verse 4, those who were the wanderers. "Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. For He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things." And so we have these wanderers. There were those that because of their sin, they wandered, and it was as though they wandered in the desert. Even to the point they couldn't find a place to live. Their wandering and in their sin caused them to be hungry and thirsty. They weren't able to meet their needs. But in their time of distress, their time of wandering, their time of suffering, it says that they cried out. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. And even for the believer, there are times when we go through the desert season where we wander. I personally can attest to that boy, my teenage years stunk. I was wandering. I had accepted Jesus at the age of 5, but I wandered for a while, not doing what was right. And it was a struggle. But God in His grace that brought me to a point where I cried out to Him. And He does that with different ones. He allows them to go through that parched desert, that barren land, to the point where they see they need Jesus. And then they cry out to Him. And what does He do? He delivers them from their distress, from their trouble. He leads them by a straight way till they reach a city to dwell in. And God does that. He takes care of us. He guides, He directs, and He gives us that purpose, that hope, and that safety, and that security. And He led them by a straight way until they reached a city to dwell. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love. Again, that theme of steadfast love. For His wondrous works to the children of man. And those that were thirsty, that were struggling, they were hungry. For in verse 9 He says, "For He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things. Some sat in darkness." Oh, I'm jumping ahead. Spoiler. "But He provided for them, and He met their needs as they cried out to Him, and God led them to safety. Let us give thanks." And the reality is, the Scriptures do talk about how we wander away from God. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." Jeremiah 50, verse 6, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray, turning them away on the mountains. From mountain to hill they have gone. They have forgotten their fold." And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, "For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your souls." God will allow you to wander through the desert to the point where you come to the point where you have nothing else and you have to cry out to Him. And thus He will redeem you. But if you are of the redeemed, there He will allow you to wander as well. To the point where you come to your end and you realize you need Him. That you are hungry, you are thirsty, and He will fill you and sustain you, and He will lead those wanderers home. And oh, that we would come home to Him and allow Him to be the shepherd, the overseer of our soul, and again to thank Him for His steadfast love as He brings us into the security of the city. And then we have some that are prisoners. Verse 10, "Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they have rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So He bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadows of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. For He shatters the doors of bronze and cuts into the bars of iron." Thankfully, I have never had to be incarcerated for my actions. I will tell you, there are things I've done in my past that I very well could have been incarcerated for. And God in His grace allowed me to not get caught. But there are those that, as they rebel against God, or they rebel against His word, they do. They become prisoners. They're bound in chains. Romans 13 tells us that is why God has given governing authorities to bear the sword for a reason. To carry out God's will with that. But here are these prisoners. They have rebelled against God and His word. And they've been placed into chains. They've been put into the darkness, the shadows of death. We had the privilege of going to England one year. And we went to this one castle, Castle Warwick in Warwickshire. And it was interesting because they had a school of some children from the school on a field trip there. They were not allowed to go down into the dungeon area. I thought that was kind of interesting that their chaperones wouldn't allow them. But we went down to this dungeon area. And there's a reason why what he's talking about with it being dark. I mean, it without lights, that would have been a freaky place. And some of the stuff, yes, it was a castle. It was literally medieval. They had this iron bodice thing that they would put people in and let them hang from the ceiling. They also had a place of solitary confinement, which was a hole cut into the stone of the ground, and they would place them in there. And that's the reality of what happens when we walk in sin. When we disobey God, we rebel against His Word, we are bound in that chain of sin. And we have to cry out for Him to break that. And it's to the point that with them being in their imprisonment, that God allowed them to suffer. It says that they even toiled. So He bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. And God will allow that. As those that rebel against His Word, He will allow them to be incarcerated. And I've heard testimony different times from people that have ministered in the jails, how they actually finally came to the point where a prisoner said, "I'm so glad God brought me here so that I could find Christ." So whether you've been delivered from that, out of prison, out of a life of sin and crime, or whether just the reality of your rebelliousness to the Word of God and the chains that bound upon you. And yet there's at times where, as a lyricist, Michael Knott wrote, we throw off the shackles to take up on the chains. And there's so often times that we do that in our Christian life where we get the forgiveness, and yet then we take on all this burden of sin because we fail to obey God's Word. And we rebel against it, even though He's delivered us. And as we approach the Christmas season, the reality of the well-written tale of the Christmas carol and the warning of Marley to Ebenezer Scrooge that you are constructing these chains of your own. And the reality of rebelling against God and His Word. But God allowed them to be broken down through the hard toil, the labor. Then they cried. They cried to the Lord for their trouble. And He delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Oh, the power of our great God as He does the redemptive work. And oh, that we would run to Him and the Scriptures and allow Him to burst those things apart. Whatever it is that we're being bound to, and really, when we disobey God and we rebel against His Word, that's what we're doing. We're binding ourselves to whatever that sin is. Oh, that we would run to Him and allow Him to burst it apart. And again, let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. For He shatters the doors of bronze and cuts into the bars of iron. He releases them from that bondage and that darkness. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Excuse me. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up, and was His custom. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood and read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Him, and He unrolled it, and the scroll found the place. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set liberty those who were oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It is the Lord, it is through His power, it is through His Spirit that He delivers the captives. And even thinking of in Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas, they were imprisoned for proclaiming the Lord, they sat there and they began to praise the Lord, and the doors were opened and yet they remained. But then that impact that had on that Philippian jailer and how he wound up coming to the Lord. Prison is not a wonderful thing. And yet that is the reality when we choose to live in sin. It is dark. We are bound. But God has delivered us. Oh, that we would give thanks to Him for His steadfast love. Why? Because He has shattered the doors of bronze and cut in two the bars of iron. What is it you're letting be that binding thing in your life today? What is that sin that you are rebelling against the Word of God? Go to Him. Ask for His deliverance. Let Him break those bars, that bronze door. Moving on then, he talks about the foolish. Verse 17, some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathe any kind of food, and they draw near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He sent out His word, and He healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving, and tell of His deeds in songs of joy. And so here we have those that are living life foolishly, and it just says fools. But their sinful ways and their foolishness is causing them to be come to the point that their iniquity, their affliction is such, they don't even want to eat. It's causing them to be diseased, or so depressed, or whatever it is, that they don't even want to eat food. To the point they draw near to the gates of death. And we even see that throughout the New Testament, through the Gospels, where those that would be sick and infirmed, they would be brought out to the gates so that they could beg and plead for food and for help. And yet, is that not what sinful living is foolishness? In Proverbs it says, it's better to be between a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool in his folly. And yet there are those that they are living their life in such foolish debauchery and sin and iniquity. And it really doesn't go any farther than that to talk about fools through their sinful ways. And yet they come to the point where they aren't even willing to eat. It's as though they've become diseased. And that does happen at times through foolish, sinful living, where there are diseases that people can contract from their foolish, sinful living. It says they loathe any kind of food and they draw near to the gates of death. But at that point, finally, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. Through their foolishness, they became sick. They are ill to the point they don't want to eat anything. But then they cried out to be healed. And what does He do? He delivers them from distress, from their distress. He sent out His word, and He healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of all of His deeds in songs of joy. And so here we have now, they are called to celebrate through sacrifice for what God has done for them as they give thanks. What kind of foolish acts are you struggling with? And if you continue in those foolish acts of iniquity, they will bring about repercussions. They will bring about negative consequences in our life. To the point, it gets to the point where we're just sickened to even, we don't want food. Oh, that we would not come to that place, but that we would give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because His steadfast love endures forever. Some went down, then, verse 23, some went down to the sea in ships doing business on the great waters. They saw deeds of the Lord's, His wondrous works in the deep. For He commanded and raised a stormy wind which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and they were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad that the waters were quiet, and He brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol Him in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. And so here we have those that are, they're those that are used to working on the sea. And they encounter the storms of life and the literal storms with the illustration to the point that it's as though they're drunken sailors because they're walking on the deck. The torrent is so intense they can't even walk a straight line. I don't know how many of you have ever watched the show Deadliest Catch. Oh my goodness, some of the scenes from that show. And I remember one particularly where as it drops down off this wave, this guy is like 10 feet off the deck. Whoa. And that's the picture here of what it's talking about that. With the great waters, they saw the deeds of the Lord, His wondrous works in the deep. For He commanded and raised a stormy wind in which He lifted the waves up off the sea. And they mounted up to heaven and went down to the depths of the courage and melted away in their evil plight. And normally you think about sailors as being hard and tough individuals. But they are no match against God and His power. And yet there is a reality of this picture here as we think about hardened sailors facing these incredible storms. There are people who ignore God and go on through their life, and then they encounter the storms of life. To the point it says, it's like they don't know where to go. They're staggering around like drunk men, and they're at their wits' end. Then at that point, they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. And He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still and the waves of the sea were hushed. This makes me think of the Lord Jesus with the disciples in the boat. In Luke chapter 8. Verse 22, and one day He got into the boat with the disciples, and He said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out. And as they sailed, He fell asleep. And the windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke Him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And He awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased. And they were as calm. And He said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey Him?" Verse 29 of Psalm 107, "And He made the storms be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. And they were glad that the waters were quiet, and He brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for the wondrous works of the children of men." Let them extol Him in the congregation to the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. And so these sailors, they worked on the sea. This was their normal business, and they'd seen the power of God in storm. But the storms were so severe that it was as though they were stumbling in drunkenness. They became at their wits' end, and then they cried out to the Lord in trouble. He delivered them from the storm. He caused it to be still. He allowed them to arrive to safety and to give thanks. And then, here we have that they are to proclaim or extol what He has done and praise Him in the assembly of elders. Then he moves, the psalmist moves into talking about how then God really is sovereign over all things. Verse 33, He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns desert pools into water, a parched land into springs of water. And then He lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get fruitful yield. By His blessing, they multiply greatly. He does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, He pours contempt on the princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But He raised up the needy out of the affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all the wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend these things, and let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. And so He talks about here then, as He's talked about these situations where people, because of their sin, because of their actions, have either been like those who were wandering and lost in the desert, or they've been like prisoners bound by their sin, or they've been fools and they become diseased or sickened, or they are like these hardened sailors who come to the storm of life and they are undone. And then He says He turns into the desert, that God is able to take those things in life, the rivers, and turn them into a desert, springs, and turn them into thirsty ground. He is able to take those things that are pleasurable and remove them and make them aspects then of judgment, or things to drive us to the reality that we need Him. But He also can take those times of difficulty and turn them into then bring deliverance out of them. And He, as it says, and He lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in, and they sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By His blessing, they multiply greatly. God's in control of it all. God will use the things in our life to either bring us to the point of need through discipline, through suffering, so that we come to Him, that we cry out, as it says throughout the psalm, they cry out in their distress. He will allow that. He will do that. He will cause that. He will allow hardship in our life, especially if we are rebelling against Him, especially if we're walking in sin, so that He will bring us to Him. But He will also then, in that, as He's the good, loving Father, when we cry out to Him, why? Because His steadfast love, He will give us hope. He will give us deliverance. He will bring fruitfulness in our lives as we cry out to Him. And those that are redeemed, the upright, it says, see it and they are glad. And yet the wickedness, it shuts their mouth. So where are you at today? God is in control of all things. He has a plan. He has a purpose. His desire is that you would know Him and that you would cry out to Him. So first and foremost, I have to ask, have you ever come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or are you wandering in the desert? Are you bound in chains of sin? Are you being a fool? It will catch up with you, and the storms of life will take over to the point where you're as though a drunken man or you're at your wit's end. You're stumbling along. I challenge you then, as it says throughout, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. And He brought them to their desired haven, as it says with the sailors. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. Cry out to Him. Whatever your distress is, cry out to God. His steadfast love endures forever. He is faithful, and He will bring you out of whatever it is. And He will give you hope. He will give you deliverance. By His blessing, they multiply greatly. And if you are a child of God, is there trouble in your life? And if that is the case, I would ask you, why? Are you wandering? Are you rebelling against God's Word, thus binding yourself in the chains of sin? Are you being foolish with regards to something? Or are you thinking in your power and your might you can go conquer the storms and seas of life? Again, cry out to God. Give thanks to Him. And going back to the beginning of this, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble. And He has gathered them from all across this world. And as He ends, He says, in verse 43, whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let him consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Oh, child of God, are you thankful? And I love hearing testimonies. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the same for all of us. But this is why I love hearing testimonies, because the day, the time, the situation, the circumstances are unique unto you when you came to Christ. Oh, we need to share that. We need to proclaim the steadfast love of our Lord. We need to share in the assembly with the elders about what God has done, and share with others of how God has brought us through out of our sin. But then also, as we walk through this life and we face the storms of life, we face those barren times where we're wandering in the desert because we're not walking with the Lord. Or whether there's a particular sin that, as the Scriptures say, so easily besets us that we want to fight that battle and cry out to God and allow Him to break those chains, that we will then share about the victory that God has brought, so that we can share with our brothers and sisters His steadfast love, what He's done and how He's brought us through that trial, that temptation, that He's been faithful. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Oh, give thanks, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 9, it says, or do you not know that the unrighteousness, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit to the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, and you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Whatever it is that you have been through, remember, as we look back, such were some of us. And as Psalm 107 has laid out these things for us, the psalmist, there are things we have walked through. And we need to remember that it is God who has delivered us. It is God who has done the work. And verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. And then in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes in chapter 2, verse 14, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. And then in chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift, which is that surpassing grace of God upon you and the work of the gospel. Oh, that we would be people then, as the redeemed, as children of God, and I implore you as my brothers and sisters who are in Christ. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble. And let the wise consider. Let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of our Lord. If God has done a work in your life, oh, praise Him. Be a thankful person. Share that with others. Tell it to others. Tell them how God has delivered you. And then, child of God, again, when we are going to struggle, take the application out of here. When we get and we are struggling in our sin, cry out to Him. Cry out to Him. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He's always faithful. Call out to your great God. His steadfast love endures forever. May we that are redeemed proclaim that message to anybody who will listen, to anybody who will hear it. And if you have not yet accepted Jesus as your Savior, cry out to Him in your distress. Because His steadfast love endures forever. He will redeem you. He is calling. Will you answer?